Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for January 15th, 2018. We'll begin our reading today with the article entitled State Picks DHS for Pilot Program by Carol Rem, Danville. The Danville District 118 School Board Wednesday night will hear about an opportunity in which Danville High School would participate in piloting a state program that would give DHS an advantage in the school improvement process. Assistant Superintendent of Secondary, Beth Jacoby, said the Illinois State Board of Education, ISBE, is running a pilot program called IL-Empower, which is a new system of support for schools statewide. The program would empower schools with greater choice and voice in the school improvement process and give schools their resources to focus on the needs of the whole child. The state wants us to tell them what we need to be better supported, Jacoby said, adding that district officials are very interested in expanding mental health services for students. DHS was selected as one of the first schools in the state to implement the pilot program because it has been identified as a priority school, Jacoby said. According to ISBE, a priority school is one of the lowest achieving 5% of state schools, using a 3-year average performance of all students on state assessments in reading language arts and mathematics combined. Also on Wednesday, board members will 1. Consider 2 requests for international travel with Danville High School students. One trip plans to take students in DHS Spanish class to Costa Rica on June 6th through the 14th. The second trip is set for June 11th through the 18th to Japan. The trips are sponsored by the school district. Second, consider adopting a music history course at DHS. Jacoby said the class would give DHS students more choices in electives, particularly for freshmen. And third, consider a lease agreement for driver's education vehicles. Our next article is entitled Coming to Fruition, Library Officials Excited for Renovations in 2018 by Jennifer Bailey. Despite a little setback with burst pipe issues at the Danville Public Library building earlier this month, library officials are excited for 2018 with the library's renovation project coming to fruition and other activities and events planned. Library Board President Linda Bolton said she's ecstatic about renovations this year that will include a new teen space on the library's first floor, a larger group study room on the second floor, a facilities office, new LED lighting, and additional storage. One of the most exciting things, and the fact we're taking on this project, is to create more teen space. Teens are using the library. They want to be there, Bolton said, about teens learning and being involved in different activities at the library. We're just really excited about that. We're providing them more room. She said it's a win-win, as the library continues to see an increase in usage of the building by teens, and the library is trying to meet their needs. The library is also trying to meet the demand with the larger study room and improve hallway and other lighting to make the building brighter, Bolton said. Danville Library Director Teresa Tyner agrees that the biggest, most exciting change coming for the library this year is the renovation project. It'll be so nice to have a dedicated space for the teens and to return the second floor to more of a quiet reading and computer use area, Tyner said. Bidding on the project will open on January 9th, and they anticipate the renovation will be finished sometime in late summer or early fall. Other upcoming events at the library include Project Uplift from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. January 26th. This will be the third year for the event in the library's first floor meeting room. Project Uplift's goal is to connect homeless or nearly homeless persons and families and those who love them with information and resources. 77 people attended the event last year, and 22 community organizations offered information and assistance. Library staff and volunteers served hot meals and handed out goodie bags filled with snacks, toiletry items, and socks donated during the library's sock drive. The library also will host its third annual homeschool fair from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. March 24th. The event brings together families, organizations, and resources to panel discussions, information booths, crafts, and more. Families considering homeschooling, parents wanting to learn more about day-to-day homeschooling, and current homeschoolers who'd like to review next year's textbooks are encouraged to attend. Last year, the fair had more than 30 attendees. Organizations that would like to participate in either event can contact Jessica Augustin, Outreach Services, at 477-5227. That's 477-5227 or JAUGUSTSON at danvillepubliclibrary.org. The library also has a new assistant director, Jennifer Lee. She replaced outgoing assistant director Mike Bodicker. Over the past 2 years, I have enjoyed working with Mike Bodicker as the assistant director, but I decided to go in a different direction with the position and focus it more on community engagement and public service. Jennifer's qualifications, work experience, and knowledge of the community were exactly what we were looking for, and we are thrilled to have her on board, Tyner said. Lee is a Danville native, Danville Area Community College graduate, and Eastern Illinois graduate in English and theater. She's set to graduate from the University of Illinois in May with her Master of Library and Information Science degree. Her employment history includes supervisory positions at the Walt Disney World Resort, Orange County Library System, and DAC Library. Next is a bit of a weather report. Wind chill advisories issued for the area. The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a wind chill advisory for Vermilion County and the surrounding areas from 9 p.m. Sunday until noon Monday and from 6 p.m. Monday until noon Tuesday. Snow and very cold wind chills expected. Light to moderate snow will fall across the area tonight into early Monday morning. Storm total snow accumulations will be 2 to 3 inches, with isolated amounts of up to 4 inches north of I-74. Bitterly cold wind chills will develop in the wake of the system. Wind chill values will bottom out from 15 below to 20 below zero Monday night into Tuesday morning. Be prepared for snow-covered roads and limited visibilities, and use caution while driving. The latest road conditions for Illinois can be obtained by calling 1-800-452-4368. That's 1-800-452-4368. Our next article is entitled Winter Alternative: Farmer's Market Tries to Stay Cozy by Brianna Kirkham. While there's still a handful of months to face before summer arrives, the Danville Farmer's Market has offered a winter alternative for small businesses and shoppers. Manager Susan Franklin started planning the winter farmer's market back in September and has set up every second Saturday at the Fisher Theater's lobby since November. Though today's market was canceled due to cold weather, the February and March markets are scheduled to go on. The Fisher, as a venue, is a great space for people to do different things, Franklin said. What makes the winter farmer's market different from the summer is that vendors do not have to make it, bake it, or grow it, meaning they can sell products from companies such as Avon and Scentsy. Close to 20 different vendors have set up their booths the past several months, selling everything from baked goods to jewelry to cutlery. The Fisher also has its gift shop and cafe open, where they sell barbecue, hot dogs, craft soda, hot chocolate, and coffee. This particular venue is special to Sharon Young, who sells baked goods with her business, Time for All Seasons. I went to the movies there when I was a little girl, she said. I think everyone is interested in coming to see it, the Fisher, especially customers who went to it growing up. Franklin actively advocates for the restoration of the historic theater, which is why the $5 vendor fee goes to the Fisher. Young also said there are certain perks that come with working in the winter. It's harder to sell baked goods in the summer, but in the winter it's obviously not too warm, Young said. Other vendors and businesses at the winter market include Cindy Parr of Paraded Gypsies, which sells planted herbs, Bolin Chiropractic, offering chair massages, and Robert Willis, a local artist and author. Franklin will also sell baked goods, lotion bars, dog and cat treats, and vintage jewelry. Just like the summer market, vendors have to live in Vermilion County or a county that touches it to participate in the market. The last two winter markets are scheduled for February 10th and March 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The end of the winter market will focus on gardening as spring approaches and will feature unique plants that aren't common in most stores. Our next article is an editorial entitled King's Words Still Relevant. Our nation celebrates the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. on Monday, honoring the civil rights leader who gave his life in the fight to ensure equal opportunity and respect for all Americans. He led a huge coalition of people of all colors, all religions, and from all regions of the country to erase laws that treated African Americans as second-class citizens. King's commitment to nonviolence was met with just the opposite strategy from his opponents. They fired bullets into his house. They jailed him repeatedly on false charges. They bombed and burned the churches where his supporters met. They killed those who walked beside him. And 50 years ago this coming April, a man with a rifle who could not stand the thought that all Americans are created equal fired the shot that ended King's life. However, the movement he and so many others worked so hard to start continues to live. Many of the goals have been accomplished, but much remains to be done. The obvious signs of racism, signs denoting white and colored on drinking fountains, segregated schools and stores, and law prohibiting people of color from taking advantage of the nation's opportunities might be gone, but the hidden hate and prejudice continue to boil beneath the surface. In April of 1963, King and Ralph Abernathy were jailed in Birmingham, Alabama, after leading a march in violation of a state injunction. While serving 8 days in solitary confinement, King wrote a response to white clergymen who had encouraged him to stop the sit-ins, pickets, marches, and boycotts he and his followers used in an effort to effect change. His letter from a Birmingham jail was smuggled out and published. His words continue to hold meaning today. Quote, "I cannot sit by idly in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds," end quote. And, quote, "When you are harried by day and haunted by night by the fact that you are a Negro, living constantly at tiptoe stance, never quite knowing what to expect next, and are plagued with the inner fears and outer resentments, when you are forever fighting a degenerating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over, and men are no longer willing to be plunged into the abyss of despair. I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience," end quote. Pause a moment Monday to remember King and the struggle thousands upon thousands of his fellow Americans engaged in to make our country great, and resolve to do your part to bring justice to all. Our next article is entitled "Session to Help Make Plans for Summer" by Brianna Kirkham. Danville. A meeting is scheduled for February 6th at 5:30 p.m. at Crossroads Christian Church on North Vermilion Street for those interested in participating in the Danville Farmers Market this summer. This is a meeting to gear people up for the summer, the market's manager, Susan Franklin, said. It will officially open on Saturday, May 19th, at Crossroads Parking Lot, and will continue to set up there every Saturday. On Wednesdays, the market will take place at the Big R parking lot. Franklin said she hopes to set a theme for each market, either focusing on a certain kind of produce or plant. I also hope to support the community by spotlighting local charity organizations, she said. Additionally, every first Saturday of the month will be kid-focused, and every third Saturday will be open to unique products, meaning the vendors don't have to make it, bake it, or grow it. The market will continue to accept SNAP and WIC vouchers and will also offer farmers market bucks for those who like to budget their food allowance. On Wednesdays, vendors will donate their extra produce to Faith in Action, which gives food to Crisis Healthy Aging Center. Franklin said she encourages anyone who has ever thought about getting involved in the farmers market to attend the February 6th meeting, especially volunteers and entertainers. Our next article is entitled, New Library Foundation Director Brings World View, Rolling Treasures Book Cart Now Available, by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Anyone who attends the regular Danville Public Library Foundation book sales knows how busy and crowded they can be. A new Rolling Treasures book cart now at the library can meet the needs of those looking to buy bargain books any time of year. New Danville Library Foundation Executive Director Sabrina Henriques said the rolling book cart is located in the library by the checkout station. It contains donated books that are available all year round for purchase. Proceeds are used to broaden and enhance library services and programs. The costs, gift quality hardback books, $2, other hardback books, $1.25, paperbacks, $1, and children's books, 25 cents. The next book sale will be in March. Henriques fills the foundation executive director position vacancy created when Melody Ehrlich retired in September of 2017. Henriques started at the end of September. She's a native of Smyra, Delaware, but her father was born and raised in Rockford, Illinois. She's a recently retired military spouse of Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Andre Henriques, DDS, which is the reason they moved to Danville. Her husband accepted a position with the Veterans Affairs Illiana Healthcare System as a prosthodontist. They were living in Colorado briefly after returning from Brugnera, Italy. She said they lived right outside of Venice, Italy, for 3.5 years. Her relocations have enabled her to gain valuable national and international experiences that she never would have dreamed of achieving. Henriques says her resume includes more than 18 years in the government, finance, and nonprofit sectors, with a focus on executive management, quality assurance, fundraising, and event planning. She has a contract and grant awards of more than $22 million. She is completing coursework for a Master in Accounting and Finance from University of Maryland University College. The Library Foundation job description is almost a mirror image of my professional backgrounds in one job position. I knew I wanted to continue working in the nonprofit sector, but I needed a place that allowed me to combine my two passions, analytics and event planning. This position will enable me to do both and so much more. I was interviewed twice and received notification of my unanimous selection in mid-September, she said. Henriques said her first goal, joining the Library Foundation, was building a comprehensive donor analysis. She's updated financial and database management software and compiled the giving history of the past 9 years to gain insight on how to build a targeted marketing plan to increase recurring donors, activate lost donors, and increase giving amounts. She's also working on a quality assurance plan, setting goals, accountability, and creating measurement tools to evaluate the success of all foundation projects and events, and identifying potential grant funding sources. In addition, Henriques is starting the groundwork for the next Page to Stage event in September 2018. The theme will be Around the World in 80 Days. I've traveled over 38 countries, so I'm very excited to be working on this event, she said. As a military spouse of over 20 years, I learned early that mission is first. I will apply the same dedication and passion to my new community of Danville, she said. Henriques has announced the Library Foundation's annual fundraising appeal. Through donations from the community, the foundation has provided more than $50,000 during the last two fiscal years in support of the library's annual budget. Henriques said contributions and support are appreciated and strengthens the library's ability to help Danville create, build, innovate, and learn. This year's annual appeal will assist to fund technology equipment in the library, including replacement of the 11-year-old phone system and computers in the Teen Center. In addition, the library would like to replace the older microfilm fish scanners in the archives room with machines that have the ability to scan and save genealogy and local history documents digitally. Another goal is to build a reading tree in the Youth Services Department. Children love to crawl into cozy areas to play and read. This was seen with the library's milk jug igloo. A reading tree is a colorful, cozy, hollow structure that will encourage children to read. Some reading trees have interactive elements designed to inspire young readers' imaginations. The financial appeal runs through the spring. Donations may be made using the form mailed by the foundation to Danville residents. If someone did not receive a donation form in the mail, forms may be picked up at the library, or donations can be made online through the library's website. That address is www.danvillepubliclibrary.org. The mission of the foundation is to provide private financial support for the public library, facilitating the library's continued growth and improved service to the residents of Danville. For more information about the foundation, contact Henriques at shenriques@danvillepubliclibrary.org or call 217-477-5220, extension 114. Foundation Board Vice President Frank Bernazzi said he's excited about the upcoming year for the library. I think we have a great library and a great community that's very generous, he said. And now we'll turn to our obituaries. The first is for Ray H. Hewitt, 93 of Catlin, passed away 1:35 a.m. Wednesday, January 10, 2018, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville. Private family graveside rites will be at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. Pastor Scott McCurdy will officiate. Catlin American Legion will perform military honors. A public time of family fellowship will be 3 to 4:30 p.m. Sunday, January 14th at Calvary Baptist Church in Danville. Memorials to Leukemia Lymphoma Foundation in Ray's memory. Next, Mary June Kochel, 98, passed away at 7 p.m. January 10, 2018 at Kewanee Care Home in Kewanee, Illinois. A celebration of life service will be at 10 a.m. Monday, January 15th in Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Officiating will be Reverend William Darding. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be 9 to 10 a.m. Monday, prior to the service at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to the First United Pentecostal Church in Kewanee, Illinois. Next, Donald James Kinast, 85, passed away on January 8, 2018 in Portsmouth, Virginia. Per his request, a private burial was conducted at Meadowbrook Memorial Gardens. Next, Jeremiah Daniel, 18, of Danville, died at 8:30 a.m. Thursday, January 11, 2018, in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams, Danville. And our last obituary, Jessie Mae Williams, 95 of Danville, died at 5:15 p.m. Friday, January 5th, 2018, at his home. Funeral services will be at noon Tuesday at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue, Danville, with Pastor Charles Hargrove, Sr. officiating. Visitation will be for an hour before services Tuesday at the church. Memorials may be made to Fisher Community Church, 205 North 3rd Street, Fisher, Illinois. Our next article is entitled Former School Principal Finds Second Calling by Matt Dutton, Camp Point. Pat Heinick's first few months as director of the Community for Christ Assistance Center in Camp Point have been chaotic. While counseling a woman in need of services recently, Heinick had to step away briefly to pose for a photo with a few Lions Club representatives who were dropping off a donation while simultaneously fielding questions from volunteers. The center has a thrift store, food pantry, and offers emergency rent and utility assistance. Heinick, a retired school administrator, oversees all of it. Inspired by her third grade teacher, Mrs. Laws, Heinick decided early on that she wanted to be a teacher. She attended Illinois State University, majoring in middle-level education. "I like junior high education because that's where they can start to think on their own," she said. "I love watching the light bulb come on." Heinicke, 66, spent 27 years working in the Central School District. She taught 4th and 5th grades for a spell, but found her true passion was in administration, where she affected a large number of students. She went on to work as principal of the junior high. In 2006, she was approached to help implement the new 7 Habits of Highly Effective People curriculum in Adams County Schools. Founded with George Meyer, who Heinicke refers to as the Idea Man, the 7 Habits is now taught in 24 of the county's 32 schools. "I wish I would have known these things when I started in the 70s, she said. "In the decades since it began, schools have seen growth in academic attendance and performance, while disciplinary issues have dropped simultaneously." Her efforts as a member of the Adams County Academic Success Initiative Steering Committee, the organization that promotes the 7 Habits in schools, helped Heinicke to further expand her reach and to impact even more students. Heinicke wrote most of the grants for the initiative, and 2 years ago she and Meyer also helped resurrect the Quincy Conference, which has seen about 2,000 educators attend each year. For almost a decade, Heinicke would participate in the annual school fair at the Community for Christ Assistance Center. When she retired, volunteering there was a natural progression. "I volunteered every once in a while, but I never thought about being the director," she said. "When the past director retired, I put my name in the hat just to try something different." Her first day at the new job was November 11th. Now we'll read a bit of Rediscover Danville. Nominate a Small Business Star by Carol Nichols. Whether Vermilion County is your home, where you work, or a place you visit, you undoubtedly come into contact with many wonderful small businesses. A small business may be the restaurant where you had lunch, the maintenance company who came out and fixed something in your home, the corner garage that repaired your car, the gift shop where you purchased that perfect birthday gift, or any of the many types of small businesses that exist throughout our county. If you have been especially impressed by any of these small businesses, please nominate them for our annual Small Business Stars Awards. The Illinois Small Business Development Center, SBDC, at Danville Area Community College annually seeks nominations from the business community, the lending community, and the public to recognize the critical contributions of the Vermilion County area's entrepreneurs. To recognize accomplishments at all stages of business growth, awards will be given in 4 categories. To nominate a business, send an email to sbdc@dacc.edu. This has been Dee with the Vermilion County News for January 15, 2018. Have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.